balanced. It's a planned liberal machine committed to making Barack Obama president again. And it furthers the motto of leftist extremists, which is, the end always justifies the means. In 2008, the McCain campaign was barely covered, and then mostly to ridicule Sarah Palin. The public unfairly was not getting the real truth. The deck was stacked. It is the same now. Obama never held an executive job in his life. While in Congress, he voted present most of the time. As president, who must make clear, fast decisions, Obama has been a dismal failure. He cannot make fast decisions. In fact, he's almost incapable of making any decisions. He puts most of them off, hopefully, until his next 4 years. Now, please listen to this urgent request from Tom Winter, president and editor-in-chief of Human Events, a credible conservative Washington, D.C. weekly. Dear conservative friends, they say the truth hurts. In Obama's case, it is devastating. Not surprisingly, the big media has kept the American public blind to the truth about Obama, including the fact that a corrupt Chicago machine politician made a U.S. senator out of Barack Obama. Also, how Obama won his first election by having his lawyers knock all his opponents off the ballot on technicalities. That's a great tool for shady lawyers. Then, the Tony Rezko connection. I have never done any favors for him, says Obama, about convicted developer Tony Rezko. Oh, but yes, he has. Then, Obama's connection to ACORN, the ultra-liberal tough organization, which started many years ago with good intentions and which supposedly bullied banks recently to make subprime loans to unqualified people. Tom Winter wants to expose the many skeletons in Obama's closet by sending specifically to young people, especially those in college campuses, the editorial supplement called The Truth About Obama, What Every Citizen Needs to Know. Finally, these are very critical times in our country. We must not allow these big media lying scoundrels and liberal college professors to succeed in keeping this incompetent candidate in the White House for another 4 years. If that happens, we will lose our country to socialism. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Your KSCO Central Coast weather outlook. Rain on and off through the day. Rain after midnight, heavy at times, and then probably rain right on through the weekend, off and on. Overnight low temperatures in the upper 40s. Southerly winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Voters forecast for Monterey Bay. Small craft advisory will be in effect through Wednesday morning. Tonight's forecast, southerly winds 15 to 25 knots. Wind waves 3 to 5 feet. Westerly swells 4 to 6 feet at 12 seconds. Rain. 50 degrees at KSCO. 56 in Watsonville. 62 degrees in Salinas. 60 degrees in Monterey. It's 10 minutes now past 1 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon, the 13th of March, as we return to KSCO Presents with Dr. Bill Wattenberg here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
And now, KSCO Presents Dr. Bill Wattenberg. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Wattenberg today, give us a telephone call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, Dr. Bill Wattenberg.
And yes, indeed, we're back to you on KSCO. Your number into the switchboard, 831-479-1080. Come along and load it up. A new hour, it's your hour. Better use this talk radio to all your friends and neighbors from the South Bay, the Monterey Bay Area, to the Central Coast, all points in between. And we had a lot of fun the last couple of days. Second hour, I opened up the lines to anything you want to talk about, any problem, puzzle you want to solve. Let's have a little fun. 831-479-1080. I was just thinking about something when I hear that Born in the USA song, although it has a different theme if you listen carefully. Yeah, I never have listened to lyrics to songs my whole life. I listen to the tune, and then someone else later explains to me, what are you listening to that for? Anyway, it conjures up a thought to me. For many years, good 10 years, I've tried to tell citizens of this country that American cars had far better quality and value than they were giving them credit for because they got so used to just looking at something else. And now, in the last couple of years, you know, it's really coming around. You look at what the opinion of the world. I have friends in Germany who wait in line for 6 months to buy an American car. But you look at the quality, performance, styling from the best made in America, competing and beating the very best coming from overseas, it costs you another $20,000. So I kept telling people, you know, you're a fool if you're going to buy a new car that you don't go at least look at the products made in your own country, made by your own neighbors, made by people who are probably supporting your job somewhere. I always smiled at my academic friends around the University of California, Berkeley, for instance. It looks like a Japanese assembly line for cars there. They didn't even look at American car. It was, you know, they felt it wasn't stylish. Somehow or another, they'd be considered wasteful if they were to drive a, well, you name it, okay? Now they're starting to feel a little foolish about what they spent too much money on. But I used to tell them, if you don't at least go look at American cars, try them, you're a fool because you're throwing $20,000 away. Sure, best cars, you know, fine cars made all over the world now. I had this one friend who was really, really pretty cruel about it, though. Went far beyond what I did. His neighbor bought a brand new, high class, top of the line foreign car, touted to be the most reliable in the world from Asia. And he was talking to him. My friend's name was Jake. He was a plumber. And he was talking to Harry, let's say, who bought this fancy, fine new car. Jake looks over to Harry and he says, Harry, I know two things about you now. You didn't have brains enough to go take a look at the very best American cars for $20,000 less. And you didn't have money enough to buy a Mercedes. Yeah. All right, John Santa Cruz, you're on KSCO 1080.
Huh? Yeah, Bill?
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I think what we need is a little catchphrase on the conservative side, like the green meanies and progressive weenies have gone too far. F-A-R-R.
That's clever if you really believe he's responsible for it, and you're not alone around your area at least. You need to put your signs up.
Oh, listen.
There's a lady in San Lorenzo Valley. She and her husband and others are printing out bumper stickers far out. They have every right to do that because at election time, he plastered the whole country with far in, elect for me, you know, vote for me, didn't he?
I have seen him.
Hey, I like that again. Why don't you send me an email? But you can easily.
You're asking me to do something, but I'm 70 years old. I'm a plumber.
Right.
Emails are not my.
Okay, write it down on a simple piece of 8.5x11 by bond paper. Put it in the mail and send it to KSCO.
Send it to KSCO
to me. It'll get to me. But say it again. A lot of folks can just write it out if they like it. What's your slogan?
The green meanies and progressive weenies have gone too far. F-A-R-R. And the neo-Nazis are an abomination.
Yeah, I like that. Gone to F-A-R-R. All right. Hey, you get a gold star here today for cleverness, all right?
Thank you, Bill.
Hey, you take care. Let's see who's next up here. Eric in Milpitas. Hey, back up to the Great South Bay Area in Silicon Valley. What's on your mind, Eric?
Hi, Dr. Bill. Hey, it's great having someone on the radio, former physics professor. And, you know, I had always wondered, some of the more far-out theories in physics, like parallel universes and
yes,
time travel and that kind of stuff, I mean, what do you make of that? I mean, do you think there's some reality in it, or do you think these are just some far-out theories?
Well, every theory is far out when it begins. But let's look back in history, the things that people smiled at, laughed at, couldn't be true, beginning with, you know, maybe the most famous, Einstein's theory of special relativity. It was, people were in shock disbelief. How could this be? How could it be that the speed of light is constant no matter what reference frame you measure it from, see? But it turns out he looked at experimental data. This was the only thing to explain it. And the consequence of that theory, it just, it's hard to explain. Now, the same thing is true of string theory and parallel universes and wormholes. All these things, until you really do experiments to prove there's some substance to them, they're all just theories, mathematical theories. But nevertheless, without them, there's no progress.
Yeah. Mm. So I suppose there's probably a lot of theories out there too that are just that aren't, you know, that are just
well
bogus.
there are many listen, first of all, you must understand there is no complete perfect explanation for all the forces in nature that we see. We didn't manufacture these forces. They're there, we discover them, see. The standard model, for instance, of particle physics still does not include total explanation of magnetism. Now, or gravity, or you're trying to get all these things together, and one has not been done. So other theories have been proposed by really creative people that explain better some part of what we observe than a previous theory. But together, no one has put them all together yet. Yeah. But let me remind you what the theory of an interesting theory. Can you ever read the history of what medical people in that day and age thought about when Fleming first discovered penicillin?
No.
Well, they routinely ask him, what are you fooling around with that stuff in your lab for? Go nowhere. See? Eventually, most of their lives were saved by his observations and the development of penicillin. Didn't come along until the latter half of the Second World War, but truly was a miracle drug, you know. Again, that's... I had the pleasure of working with some very great scientists. One of them, Dr. Donald Glaser, is to me the epitome of perseverance. He won the Nobel Prize as the youngest physicist, I believe, to win it, for inventing what's known as the hydrogen bubble chamber. The hydrogen bubble chamber made it possible for physicists for the first time to see high-energy particles, see their tracks. Up to that time, the whole field was stymied. They had these enormous big accelerators that could make high-energy particles, but the only thing you could see them, see a manifestation of their tracks, were called cloud chambers. Well, you'd have to make a cloud chamber the size of the entire Bay Area to see the high-energy particles coming out of the Bevatron they were building. Well, Donald Glaser came along with a very simple observation. As a young assistant professor in Michigan, he asked the question, gee, are the tracks going through a glass of beer, are all of those tracks coming from the bottom up, or could some of them be coming from the top down like a cosmic ray coming through the beer? That got his curiosity going. He investigated, is it possible to have a superheated liquid, that's what beer is, it wants to bubble, in which nuclear particles will create a bubble track as it goes through? Well, he was told by his superiors at University of Michigan, and none other than some Nobel Prize winners, that he was wasting his time. It wasn't possible. They'd calculated this couldn't be done. See? But nevertheless, Don Glaser went trudging along, and he took a little thimble full of ether, which is superheated liquid, and he put a microscope and watched it. And lo and behold, he saw little tracks appearing in that ether. Guess what those were coming from, huh? Cosmic rays, yes. And with that, he knew that he was seeing such tracks, so he built a little bigger one. And they, you know, people still said, you're wasting your time. Nobel Prize winners, no less, eh? But nevertheless, he persevered, and he applied for a little grant money. I think he got a sum total of $700 was given to him by the Office of Naval Research. And with that, he got a van, regular, like, VW van or Chevy van or something, and he put his apparatus in it, and he drove from Michigan to Long Island, Brookhaven National Laboratory. And guess where you can see a lot of man-made high-energy nuclear particles? They spill outside of this big accelerator in Brookhaven, see? Well, he wasn't qualified to go in and do real experiments inside. So he just parked his van on the outside of the building and sat there and watched the stray particles come out, see? And after he had it set up, you could see the bubble tracks occurring. He just went over, knocked on the door, and invited everybody to come out and see the next Nobel Prize winner.
Wow.
And I knew some of the people who were in there, or met them later, and they said, indeed, when they stepped into his van and peered down at that hydrogen bubble chamber, or it was an ether chamber, and saw the bubble track, they knew they were looking at the next Nobel Prize winner sitting alongside of them.
Mm.
Well, Donald Glaser had an interesting rule, and I was one of his students and then later a colleague, and we built a famous company together. But in the beginning, he used to lecture me when I'd have an idea about doing something, and I calculated, well, it won't really work or anything, and he used to tell me, Bill, said, don't you believe anybody who tells you you can't do something unless they prove to you they've done the experiment to prove it. And then even then, redo the experiment and see what they missed. Okay? You follow that rule in life, not just in physics but elsewhere. Do not believe anybody who tells you you cannot do something until they can prove they've done the experiment to show that. And even then, redo the experiment to see what they forgot. And if you want to see what it's been like for me, go to my webpage, drbill.us, drbill.us. At the end of that is a report from the university of a few years ago of all the adventures I've been in to find occasionally a simple solution to really serious problems that other people overlooked. And in every case, when I was called by the White House or somebody, hey, we can't solve this problem. We've spent $100 million on it. What can you do? I used to think, ringing in my ears was the statement from Don Glaser. Don't believe anybody who says you can't do it until you redo, either they've done the experiment or you redo them. And all I did was just plod along in that direction, and bingo, I discovered some of the things you can read about there. All right?
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bill.
I'll give you a good example. I was asked if this country's representative in 1991, April, to go to Kuwait. You remember after the Gulf War, the Iraqis blew up over 500 of the wells in Kuwait. They were on fire.
Yes.
And they were going to pollute the whole world. And all the oil well experts said it's going to take 7 years to put them all out, and we'll need, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. Well, I went over there and just started saying, why don't we try some simple things? You know, you never do that in the oil well business. Well, why not? Let's try it, see? Uh-huh. Well, it took about 3 weeks to figure out a menu of simple things we'd try. And all the teams that went to work in Kuwait that we sent over there and tried these, guess what? 7 months later, they put out the last of the Kuwaiti oil well fires. So there's my answer to you about theory and practice and experiment and what have you. Bottom line is, you must have experiments to prove which theories are correct and to improve the theories until they are correct, you see?
Mm.
What field do you work in, Eric?
With computers.
Great.
IT.
Well, that's where I started until I realized all those nice numbers I produce with the computers, I better go out and do an experiment and see if they're for real. All right. Hey, thanks for calling. I want to hear from you again, huh?
right. Thanks, Dr.
Hey, Bill. Hey, great question. You got me going there on my favorite topic. All right? Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Let's see where we go next here. I can't really drop this. It did work. I'm just looking at my call screen here to all the little buttons I can push. Your number into the KSCO studios, 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. I'll be right back.
Spring is just around the corner, which means it's time to get your RV and trailers ready to roll. Hi, I'm Rena Mills of RV Service Center of Santa Cruz, your locally owned RV parts and repair center with over 36 years of service to the Central Coast community. In addition to RV repairs, our qualified staff services and maintains boat, horse, and utility trailers and toy haulers. We also restore vintage RVs and work hand-in-hand with all insurance companies to ensure your RV is restored to its original condition. Get your RV and trailers ready to roll into spring with the help of your friends at RV Service Center. You'll find us easy to reach and easy to use at 2525 Mission Street, cross street of Mission and Swift in Santa Cruz, 831-427-0881, again, 427-0881, or you can email us at rvscsc.com.
For seniors, having close and accessible medical care is important. Here in Santa Cruz County, the majority of our local doctors and specialists are members of PMG, Physicians Medical Group. Local doctors who are close to you when you need them most. With PMG, you have your own personal doctor who sees you every visit. That's something to remember when considering a Medicare Advantage plan.
Our local Red Cross responds to over 2 home fires every week here in the Monterey Bay area, and electrical problems are a leading cause of home fires. Hello, I'm Chris Jensen with JM Electric. One cause of home electrical fires is degradation, which simply means that your electrical wiring and connections have become old and worn out. Prime conditions for starting a fire in your home. JM Electric's current safe inspection can determine if there is degraded wiring inside your walls. To see if your home can benefit from a current safe inspection, call JM Electric today for a free, no-obligation assessment, 422-7819, or jamelectric.com. Now a word from our friends at your local Red Cross.
Hello, I'm Rita Chick, CEO of the Santa Cruz County Chapter of the American Red Cross. There were 117 home fires in the Monterey Bay area last year and 70 similar disasters in Santa Cruz County. A lot of families needed our help. You can help them by donating your time and money to your Santa Cruz and Monterey County Red Cross chapters. We thank you, and your friends and neighbors thank you.
This portion of programming on KSCO is brought to you in part by RV Service Center of Santa Cruz, your locally owned RV parts and repair center in Santa Cruz. RV Service Center specializes in all RV insurance repairs and now offers service rebates equal to your insurance deductible. It's like you pay nothing. At RV Service Center, 2525 Mission, Santa Cruz, a proud member of Think Local First.
Hey, we're back to you on KSCO Presents. I'm Bill Wattenberg, your host. A lot of great calls pouring in here. Your next one could be 831-479-1080. If you dial that number, we'll have you up here. Say, I'm still chuckling. Got to give a gold star to the guy in the first hour. He comes up with this neat slogan. You know, I've told all you folks, if you want to change the system that is lording over you in your Monterey Bay area, that looks at you as a bunch of sniveling fools, that'll spoil everything in sight, you have to be prohibited from everything, got to have more government blubber butts with badges. This guy's got a great slogan. I've told you, put up some signs in the window of your home or on the streets or telephone poles. Shape them up. Okay, you have a right to do that. Here's a slogan he has. Green meanies. Progressive weenies. Gone too far, F-A-R-R. Yep. All righty, say, We have a great show coming after this one this afternoon on KSCO. I'll have to remember, do a little promo before the end of this show here. And one other thing I have to tell you about. I've told you how many folks are logging on, listening to this program around the country now, streaming on the Internet. It's called Listen Live. You can stream on the Internet and listen to this program over your computer anytime. Simply go to KSCO.com on your computer, click on Listen Live, and the program will be coming over your computer while you're doing something else. Well, tens of thousands are doing that all over the country now when they've discovered that we're doing real talk radio out of this great radio station in Santa Cruz in the Bay Area. If you want to listen to streaming radio from all over the world, every station's doing it, without your computer doing it in a neat way, there is, believe it or not, a Wi-Fi internet radio built by who else? The C. Crane Company in Fortuna, California. It's called the CC Wi-Fi radio, and look, it really is neat. If you have a router and Wi-Fi in your home or any place, most people do everywhere now, this radio will pick up direct connection to the Wi-Fi. You don't even go through your computer. It picks up the internet signal right off the Wi-Fi and interprets it, locks on, and you can listen to radio stations anywhere, and in particular this one. It's a convenience of regular radio. It even looks like a regular radio. There's knobs and dials and the remote control and everything else. But the difference is you'll hear a program with absolute clarity, no interference, no static, no matter where you are. You can listen to this program with perfect clarity if you're sitting in Shanghai right now, and many are, by the way. Again, it requires a high-speed internet connection, but most everyone has one nowadays. And it has instructions, organized list of the stations around the world. They're updated all the time. The best part for me, you can listen to me, Bill Wattenberg, here on KSCO, clearly from anywhere in the world, anytime. That's what a lot of folks are doing. In addition to Sunday nights, 8 to 11 on a nationally syndicated show, again broadcast over KSCO here. Anyway, you can order the CC Wi-Fi radio if you'd like a real treat for yourself. It's only $139.95. Call the C. Crane Company at 800-522-8863. That number again, 800-522-8863. And as always, you can visit them online at ccradio.com, ccradio.com, and see their hundreds of amazing products. If you're thinking about a present for somebody special, you should be logging onto them right now. You will be amazed at the range of unique products they have, fully guaranteed. All right, let's see who we start out with here. It looks like Mike in Watsonville. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Yes, Dr. Bill.
Yes.
I talk to you all the time. You probably recognize my voice.
No, I recognize that raspy voice. What are you up to today?
Well, I just really want to compliment you on one thing. You don't really call yourself Dr. Bill. You call yourself, that I think is speaks to just you're a regular guy. You know, I mean, like,
well, what do I say, Mike? Look, I learn most of what gets me through life and making decisions day in, day out. When I was on horseback, 13 years old, I got the biggest amount of common sense I've gotten my whole life was there, okay? And I didn't have a PhD then, okay?
Yeah.
But I had a good old boy named Dagger who was a ranch foreman, and he took me under tow, and I went everywhere he went. And when I had a question, if my dad couldn't answer it, who was a pretty sharp cookie, he would. So at any rate, the reason without the doctor looks simple. I have worked with some of the greats of science and been blessed all my life. University of California, Berkeley, on the faculty of the Lawrence Livermore National Lab. And everybody's a doctor there. You know, so what do? The only ones you would say doctor to are real medical doctors. So you'd know, for instance, if you break your leg or have a heart attack, you'd know which one can take care of you. The rest of us are mister. See?
Okay.
All right.
Hey, but anyway, I... I don't know if I should call you Dr. Bill or just Bill.
Whatever, call me anything you like. You ought to hear what other people call me, okay? But whatever it is, we have to get on with it here, Mike. You got something else on your mind?
Yeah, I ain't going to call you late for dinner, that's for sure.
All right, okay.
Okay, now, my point is about television, all right? Are we leaning toward poor people having to somehow spend half their check on getting cable or satellite TV, you know, the
if you want high speed, high definition, you can get it off the air. If you're lucky, you're around a big station, it won't cost you anything, but you still have to buy an antenna. On the other hand, in this world, if you want high speed information, you're going to need satellite or cable or some telephone connection to your home that'll cost you money. I don't know any solution to that. All right.
Well, I'm talking about the NCAA tournament coming up here.
Well, it depends on what channel they're broadcast over. You can get it over the air some places, but elsewhere, I'm afraid you're going to have a cable or a satellite connection. But hey, that's best I can do for you there, Mike. Today we've got to get Vince in Monterey. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Yes, I was wondering, but if you happen to think Obama is a natural-born citizen, considering all the evidence that would say he's not.
I know. You know what my attitude about it is? I don't think the majority of the people in a re-election would give a diddly damn. The ones that vote for him, they wouldn't care anyway. And the ones that won't vote for him would think it's a horrible crime. I happen to think, technically, if he lied and he's not a citizen and he knows that, that's a bad deal, okay? And there are many who claim there's the evidence that he's a citizen isn't there. Most recently, Sheriff down in Arizona put his investigators to work and concluded that a birth certificate produced by the White House was forged. How do you know? Until it goes before a court, Supreme Court most likely, you're never going to have an answer that really stick, you know?
Yeah. Okay, hey, thanks a lot.
Okay, that's what I think about it. And coming up here next, where are you here? Jan in, where are you, Jan?
I'm an SLV, San Lorenzo Valley.
Sure, San Lorenzo Valley. You're the one that started the far out sticker, huh?
Right.
All right, what's on your mind today?
Well, I've noticed that certain people are associated with a lot of our problems, and one name that keeps coming up that I notice is Nancy Pelosi, or as I like to call her, Nasty Pelosi. She was responsible in 1993 for urging the president and Congress to, quote, assume a strong leadership role in implementing the decisions made at the Earth Summit by developing a national strategy to implement Agenda 21 and other Earth Summit agreements.
Well, yeah, many of them bought into it. Not a utopian idea to have one world order, the United Nations could tell all of us how to live. Look, your present Secretary of Energy, nonetheless, has commented in the past that he thought it would be an ideal urban combination for people to live in tight urban areas where they use mass transit and won't have to defile and dirty the environment by driving their cars, all sorts of things, you know. So.
Well, in my view, the cities are the big problems. These people, if people moved out of the cities, we wouldn't have all these pollution problems, all these other problems all associated in one spot. But I also wanted to mention that Nancy Pelosi was, you know, the one that shoved Obamacare down our throats. And also, she's the one that was responsible for the recent Rush Limbaugh controversy with that lady.
Well, now, look, now, Jan, I can buy a lot, but I'm not so sure that the total blame for Limbaugh's goof-ups were not his own. I mean, he didn't have to step into that trap. And characterize
true.
A lady in some way that would bring him a lot of criticism, you know.
Right, hey. But her name is associated with that whole event.
I'll bet she wasn't unhappy at all to see Limbaugh get some egg on his face. But
well, I think we need to stop thinking of our political arena here as a football game, and we're on one team or the other. We got to start realizing that we are the United States of America, and that's our main team.
And, yeah, I like that message, and with that, I'll have to leave you. But, hey, thanks for calling here today on KSCO. Your number into the switchboard, final 15 minutes coming up here, 831-479-1080. I'll be right back.
I'm here at Walmart with Sarah. Now, Sarah, where do you normally shop for a simple project like repainting a room?
You know, the big home improvement stores.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Walmart has the stuff you're looking for?
I don't know.
Let's go. Come on. Walk with me.
Okay.
Boom.
Oh, great.
What do you see?
I see everything I would need.
I'm seeing Glidden 2-in-1 Paint Plus Primer, mm-hmm. 3M Painter's Tape,
ooh.
Sureline Paint Tray Kits.
That's exciting.
And low prices on all of it, too.
This is great.
There you go. Now you should come see Walmart's Projects Made Simple for yourself. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
It's time to dine in a redwood paradise. Take the short drive through the woods to the beautiful San Lorenzo Valley, where the trees are tall, the sky blue, the pace slow, and the dining is pure enjoyment.
Hi, this is Mark, owner of Rocky's Cafe in Felton. At Rocky's Cafe, we serve home-cooked meals for breakfast and lunch. Come experience a friendly service, huge portions, and reasonable prices. For breakfast, we invite you to stop by for Pedro's famous French toast or chocolate chip pancakes. For lunch, try a steak sandwich, veggie burger, or one of the many other delicious options. If weather is nice outside, Rocky's has a great outdoor deck and is dog friendly too. At Rocky's Cafe, we'll fill you up for not a lot of money. Open 7 days a week, Rocky's Cafe is at 6560 Highway 9 in Felton. Call 335-4637.
It is time to dine in a redwood paradise. Take the short drive to San Lorenzo Valley and enjoy.
Hi, it's your old friend MZ who's been meaning to rave to you about our fabulous new concrete parking lot here at your favorite radio station. Now, when you drive up to our building, you'll no longer have to worry about your car disappearing into a sinkhole and having to make arrangements to be winched out. We're so proud of our new one-of-a-kind designer concrete parking lot conceived and installed by the renowned Tim Whitlow of Whitlow Concrete and his crew of genius artists. I invite you to stop by KSCO at 2300 Portola Drive and behold the absolutely beautiful customized job Whitlow Concrete did for us. I challenge you to find a better, classier parking lot anywhere in the county, or the state, or the country, or the world. Tim Whitlow of Whitlow Concrete knows what he's doing, and he has the best crew imaginable working for him. Check out Tim's masterpiece, RKSCO parking lot, and then call Whitlow Concrete to make your property more valuable. 475-4499 or WhitlowConcrete.com. Whitlow Concrete is diamond certified and a proud member of Think Local First.
Hey, kids, what time is it? That's right, it's happy hour. Hi, I'm Charlie Friedman, inviting you to our afternoon get-togethers here on KSCO. Join me weekdays at 4 here on your favorite radio station for 3 hours of news, traffic, weather, news talk, and a few great 78s from my vast collection. So, listen to happy hour on KSCO. Learn why they call me the genial genius of Watsonville. Happy hour, 4 to 7 weekdays on KSCO.
This segment brought to you by User-Friendly Computing for all your computer service needs. Give them a call today at 423-9653 or stop on by the shop at 505 River Street in Santa Cruz. And be sure to ask Peter for your free $50 diagnostic coupon.
Okay, John and Bonnie Doon, I'm Bill Wattenberg on KSCO Santa Cruz. You're next up here. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Bill.
On a lighter note, a
trivia question, which I don't have the answer to. You might, or someone out there might have.
Well, let's put it out. We'll have some fun.
Here we go. When you open up a box of kitchen matches, what we used to call blue tip.
Yes.
Strike anywhere kind of stick matches. All the soldiers are all lined up with their heads in one direction in the box.
All right.
With the exception of one, which is turned the other way.
Really?
And I don't know why that is.
I've never heard of that. I've opened zillions of those. I lived up in a cabin when I was a kid, and you live. Now, you're talking about the bigger boxes, like 4 inches long?
Well, there's two sizes. There's that size, which is the standard kitchen size, and then there's what they call the penny.
Yes.
Which is the smaller one.
Well, which one do you find the one soldier turned around in?
The smaller one.
The small. I have had little experience with
those
that.
Those are what I've been using.
Hey, good trivia question. Let's see if someone has an answer.
Yeah.
Stay
tuned,
huh?
All right, bye.
Take care. Yeah, next up here, Harry in Capitola. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hi, I just have a real short math quiz.
Uh-oh, you'll get me now. What is it?
Okay, you ready for this? What do you get? Hang on just a second. What do you get? I lost it. Here it is.
Well, Harry.
What do you get if you divide the circumference of a pumpkin by its diameter?
Circumference of a pumpkin by its diameter. Well, you must get a pumpkin pie, huh?
You got it.
That one's not difficult. All right.
Everybody just says pie and lets it go.
Oh, you got a pumpkin pie, huh?
Right.
Yeah. You know, my favorite pumpkin pie story, are you an old farmer?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Gee, just to think of it, it's a little bit too raw. I have to skip it. All right, that's a late night joke. Okay, John in Watsonville, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
If you're talking about John at Watsonville, that's me.
That's you. You're on KSCO.
Okay.
I'm going to surprise you, but I'm just going down the list here.
Yeah, okay, Dr. Bill, a long-time listener, first-time caller, anywhere. Understanding that you have had experience working with nuclear warheads.
You know, a bit. I was part of this nation's nuclear weapons design team many years ago, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, 60s and 70s.
Good. Well, something that's been bugging me for years has not got to do with the warheads, per se, but with their launch vehicles, such as the Poseidon launch vehicle from submarines and the Polaris launch vehicles.
Yes.
Before then.
Yeah.
They've all been taken out of service and decommissioned.
No, they haven't all been. The Polaris haven't been, but that's all right.
Okay, well, I didn't know any Polaris submarines were still sailing the seas. But
let's see. Am I really, maybe I'm just getting senile here. What's the name of the latest version of
Trident?
Trident. Yes. Yeah. I worked on the Polaris, on the guidance system part.
Yeah, I'm rather confident that all the Polaris's...
Sure. You're absolutely right.
Poseidons have been taken out of service.
Yeah.
Those are solid-fueled launch missiles.
Yeah.
Now, what does the Navy do with these things? They've been out of service now.
Well,
to some degree,
I've seen them burned. Okay, they make one hell of a fire, as you can well imagine. They don't explode. They just burn if they're not confined. In other words, if you don't confine the exhaust gases out at nozzle, you've just got yourself a big Roman candle, you know, or a bonfire. Other than that, I don't know.
That leads to air pollution, et cetera, and I'm just kind of curious. It's been bugging me for years now. There must be a lot of them, hundreds.
And again, there are metal particles in that stuff that wouldn't be good in the air. They must have some other procedure for melting them down, decomposing, or something other than just burning
them.
Or
they're all just sitting in storage somewhere, in which case the fuel's probably degrading little by little over the years.
Well, I doubt they're going to be reused, but it's very possible. First thing I would think about is that the fuel could be reused, refined, refreshed in some way. Because, look, the newer rockets still use solid propellant, many of them, you know?
That's right.
So other than that, I only worked on decomposing the top end, the weapons themselves. And you know where that stuff's going?
The newer stuff?
Yeah, no, just any old. Do you know where the nuclear material's going, coming out of our warheads?
Oh, I presume they're being recycled or left in storage.
No. Obvious.
Made into newer
No. We're not making more. We're dismantling them. Thousands, and so are the Soviets. We're burning it for good energy for folks who want
to
run their electric blankets and keep their houses warm and their TVs. They're going in our nuclear power plants.
In fact, half
shocks most people. Half of the fuel for our nuclear power plants is coming from Russia.
Yeah, well, make good use of what's not going to be used for its original intents and purposes.
Well, that's the best way to turn your swords into plowshares, isn't it?
Well, maybe some of the listeners out there or somebody somewhere can give a more up-to-date answer on what the Navy's doing with these older vessels.
Yeah,
to me, seem problematic. I don't think they want to burn them in a big bonfire.
I was being a little facetious. Yeah. I saw some testing done in which one was burned. But that probably has nothing to do how they recycle them. But, hey, we'll listen in and see if someone's got it. Thanks for calling. Shane Santa Cruz, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hey, I was wondering why you think there's not more diesel cars in America. They get great fuel mileage, and they're pretty simple.
Two things. One, idiot regulators who discouraged them and thought, oh, gee, we're not regulating them, therefore we can't allow them. Can you imagine you have these numb nuts, nincompoop, CARB, California Air Resources Board, EPA idiots, who they put all sorts of regulations around years ago, discouraged the importation of them or the use of them. People said, oh, gee, they blow some black soot. Look, isn't that terrible? And the damn fools don't realize that gasoline cars are emitting an invisible pollution far more serious. And then just public likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
The majority of cars are turbo diesel in Europe for good reason. They're more efficient, longer lasting, better design. Yeah.
And, you know, some of them get better mileage than a hybrid car.
Oh, yeah, they do. In fact, Ford has a small turbo diesel driven car running around 65 miles a gallon. People love it in England, I know, maybe the rest of Europe. Volkswagen has some.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of where is the leadership in this country. They can tell you and try to stampede you into the stupidity of electric cars as if that's all their attention and billions of your dollars. And yet if they just encouraged people or subsidized small turbo diesel engines, biggest jump in conservation overnight right there.
Huh? Yep. Exactly.
But where are your leaders? They are religious fanatics. Great scientists in their own narrow little fields, but strictly religious fanatics on the other things that they dream of and want everybody to do. And that's what you're stuck with. Yeah? And that's why Obama's ratings are just tanking right now. I've warned him for 3 years. Look at the letter on my webpage, drbill.us, drbill.us. Look at the letter that tells him what he could do tomorrow morning. And he listens to his advisors say that's just evil. It's evil to use gasoline or diesel or jet fuel or even natural gas. Well, look, we have this miracle we're going to bring you of ethanol sometime. Oh, now we can even go make it out of algae. And they don't explain to the poor fool, and he's a fool for being so intelligent not to use his own brains and common sense. They don't explain to him that this is 8, 10, 15 years out. When he's long gone, when the economy's crashed and the low-income people are bankrupt.
Yep.
Hey, I'm with you. Almost all my wheels are diesel. Okay.
Yeah. You know, the Cummins beautiful truck, it's 500,000 miles on it, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I happen to think the Ford's power strokes are pretty good. And the the Duratec GM, they're all very good, you know?
Yep.
But, you know, Volkswagen is making us look a little foolish. They're hit with the Jetta diesels that meet all the clean air requirements that were severe put on them and doing fine, and they really are fine. The great driving machine. Huh?
Yeah.
So, but if the American public would buy them, you'd see General Motors and Chrysler and Ford producing them tomorrow. Eh?
Yep.
But where's the leadership to stand up and say, oh, gee, instead of... Oh, electric cars are going to get us 100 miles per gallon without even mentioning that you have to, you know, power them with a filthy coal-burning plant somewhere. Why don't they stand up and say, you can make one big leap forward if we'd use natural gas, it's immediate reduction of 40% in air pollution, 100 times more than anything they've accomplished. Or let's use small turbo diesel engines, like the beauties you can go find from Volkswagen right now, and put some subsidy in that to get American public to buy them. Save themselves a lot of money, conserve a lot of energy. No. You have the dreamers masquerading as scientists. And you know something is a rule in science that I grew up with. Some of them Nobel Prize winners, by the way. anytime you speculate on something that you think can be true or can be realized, and you tell other people to depend on it before you've proven it, you're not a scientist. You're a religious nut, okay?
Yeah.
You're not a scientist. You're just practicing a religion, your own, at other people's expense. Okay, hey, thanks for calling, Shane.
Okay.
Hey, I appreciate it. Tim as well, 5 minutes to go. Here are some lines open for you at 831-479-1080. Last chance to get at me here today. You better come along. Hey, we're going to have a little update on the next show coming up here. Dr. and Mrs. Future, are you with us here?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Bill. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Bill.
Well, give us a little snippet here of which program is coming up.
Well, for the first hour, we have our Dr. Future news, and we'll be talking about things like how there's some new software from Microsoft that'll turn any monolingual speaker into a multilingual. So, like,
really? You mean I can speak Chinese overnight? Huh?
26 pairs, 26 different languages,
in
which you can be translated in real time. So,
oh, but they translate, but they don't teach me how to speak it, though.
No, that's next. That comes with the implants a little
all
down
right.
the road.
Mm-hmm.
Naval Research Lab has just building a robot for firefighting on shipboards, and it's shaped like a human because ships are designed for humans, so the robot has to look like a human to fight the fire properly.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, and that's just coming out. We'll be talking about that a little bit. The Microsoft research has a new way of turning all surfaces into touch screens.
Hmm.
So anything around you can become interactive for your controls or whatever you want to control. So
now that would be neat, huh?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I want a shirt like that, and then somebody can just touch me in the right place, and I do good things.
Huh? You'd be very popular at parties that way, huh?
No, I know some of the Microsoft people, very bright. And I have commented many times after spending a lot of time in meetings with Bill Gates, technical meetings, not just meetings for me,
uh-huh.
but to watch him in operation. There's a good reason why he's where he is and one of the richest in the world.
Yes, absolutely.
Smart,
and to keep it balanced, we are bringing in one of our Apple experts who's going to give us the rundown on the new iPad 3. So we'll be doing that today.
I'll be listening to that. They've got my curiosity. I like the 2, so I'm going to see what they got on that one.
Yeah, huh? It should be very interesting. I think the Retina display is probably the biggest thing to pay attention to there.
Now, explain that to me. What do they mean by Retina display?
Well, the idea there originally was that he called it a Retina display because it begins to approach the limit of our physiological seeing ability.
Now, the resolution. Now.
Yeah, yeah. The holy grail in this technology is what we can actually see.
Sure.
I've heard a lot of reports that it's not really the full length of human perception, but it's the first product that claims to do that.
Hey, well, sounds like you got a great program coming up, folks. Stay tuned right after this program, Dr. Mrs. Future. Hey, thanks for joining me.
Hey, our pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's see if we can give John...